preaching would be as good as that song. Man, I think that's the first song maybe that we're going to sing when we get to heaven one day. That may be it. There is a God and we're going to know it, right? Man, oh, that is just beautiful. Great singing this morning. It's so good to be here. Welcome to Mars Hill. Friends and Family Day. There's not much better than family, is there? I mean, I love being with my family. My mom sitting here, you know, and I get to be with her. I get to play Hay Day with my mom every day. Get to go to the farm, you know, because we're country people, you know. So we play the little app, Hay Day, and I see her and my wife sitting there. Just so beautiful. My daughter, Sadie, sitting there. And it's just wonderful to be with family. I love spending time with my family. I pray that if you were invited here today, it's because a family member that worships here loves you, wants a relationship with you that extends far beyond the physical family that you have. They want you to be a part of the spiritual family. They want to spend eternity with you. That's what they want. That's why they have Friends and Family Day. And I will speak on behalf of Mars Hill. If we as Christians ever act, if we've ever done anything that has offended you, that has bothered you, that's made you question whether we're Christian, we repent. And we're sorry. We do not mean to act that way. We are saved by the grace of God, and we are thankful for that. But we are humans, and we do make mistakes. We make them on a daily basis. I repent every day. That's the way we need to be. 1 John 3, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Are you sitting here today? Do you call yourself a child of God? I am a child of God. I can tell you, there's really nothing besides Jesus. Okay, my wife will trump my kids now, okay? I can honestly say as a husband that years ago when my kids were first born, she didn't trump it. I love my kids. I wanted to be with my kids all the time. Today, I tell my kids, my wife, most important thing to me, except for my Savior, Jesus Christ. My wife's most important thing. But I love my kids. I love my family. I love being in the presence. I love being a child of God. I love being able to call God Father. It's what I love. Do you know who you are? In 1 Peter 2, you are a chosen people. Can you believe that? I mean, Almighty God chose you. Sometimes I look at myself and I'm like, God, why? Why would you choose me? Why? The way that I act, the way that I sometimes treat you, words that come out of my mouth, actions that I have, the way that I treat people at times, and you chose me to be in your family, that I am a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a God's special possession. I think it's so important in the church. Sometimes we're worried about bringing people into the church and we're so concerned about the state that they're in that sometimes we forget who we are. When we forget who we are, it makes it real hard to make an impact on people outside the body of Christ. We need to know who we are. You need to be here this morning and know how special you are in the eyes of God, that the church is the bride of Christ, that the church has been in the mind of God since the beginning, since before creation. He had the church in mind, the bride of Christ. That's how long that it's been, that it's been on the minds of God. So a lot of times when we use Hebrews 10:25, you know, we want to get on you for why you don't go to church all the time. Yeah, you got to go on Sunday night, you got to go on Wednesday, right? So we throw Hebrews 10:25 out there. But I want you to see this now, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward what? Love. Good deeds. That's one reason that we meet together. Not giving up meeting together, as some in the habit of doing. That may be you. You may be in a habit of not showing up. You may be in a habit of showing up just on Friends and Family Day. Easter may be your day. Christmas may be your day. But other than that, you might not visit too much. We don't need to be in a habit of missing. Why? Why? So we can encourage one another. We can encourage. When you're not here, we can't encourage one another. I need you to be here. You encourage someone when you're here just to see your presence, just to know that you see God the same way that I do, that you have a relationship with God the same way that I do. That's encouraging. That's inspiring. That's the way we need to be, encouraging one another. Why? Because we see a day approaching. Because we know that this world is not the end all, is it? We know that there's more to come. We know that there's something different after this life. We know eternity. We know that. That's why we encourage one another. We're family. Let's stick together. Let's be united. Let's be a tree. You missed Bible class. I told the story of Zacchaeus. Little kid, we got any little kids in here? Some of the old people raising their hand like they little kid. That's what I do. Oh, little kid. Y'all got to help me sing. We got to sing Zacchaeus. Okay? We got to let the old people know who Zacchaeus is. Okay? Can y'all help me out? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. That tree was right there at a moment in Zacchaeus' life when he needed to see Jesus. He climbed up in that tree. Jesus was able to see Zacchaeus and go to him and said, hey, I want to go to your house today. I want to have a relationship with you, Zacchaeus. I love you. You're created in my image. We need to be a tree. We need to be the congregation. We need to be the church in this area right here that enables people to see Jesus Christ. If that is what saves, if that is the sacrifice, if that is the blood, then they need to come in contact with it. We may be that tree. We may be that only avenue for someone to see Jesus Christ. So let's be a tree so others can see how to be a part of God's family. That's one thing I wanted to introduce. I got family, okay? So I was going to introduce you to my family, okay? Yeah, I know I've got kids. I do. But these are my grandkids, okay? You know grandparents. I mean, once the grandkids get here, you don't exist, right? You don't exist. No, no. I call Chase. I got twins, right? Chase and Paige. Chase is a minute older, and he lets Paige know that on a weekly basis pretty much. But he's a minute older. And he's got Sadie. Sadie. Oh, look at it. She's Snow White. She was Snow White yesterday. Okay. There's Sadie, and there's Lucas. That's Paige's and Spencer's little boy right there. Okay. And I'll call Chase because I'm FaceTiming. Okay. I used to be Papa K until Sadie. She couldn't say the K part. She's a pop, pop. Pop, pop. So I became pop, pop. Okay? So I call her, I FaceTime, and if Chase answers, I say, hey, Sadie there? No, she, okay, we'll see you later. And I'll hang up. I know. You don't matter anymore, Chase. Sadie matters. She's in my family. I love her. And I love Lucas. Lucas don't really love me right now. Okay, I'm one of them. Can you imagine me getting in a little 7-month-old face? Hey there, how you doing? He starts crying. And I'm like, what you scared of? Oh, Lee, if this was looking at you, you probably would be scared, wouldn't you? I see fear in some of your eyes right now. I love my family. Some of you can pull out your grandkids' pictures, can't you? You pull out those pictures, you share them with people, don't you? You love your family. Do you talk about Mars Hill the same way you talk about your grandkids? You talk about the church, same way you talk about your son or your daughter. You talk about Mars Hill, same way that you talk about your family. It'll make a difference, won't it? Think it'll make a difference. Man, people know the way that I love my family. Do they know how much I love the church, the family of God? It wasn't long. Hey, I'm going to push this button. It wasn't long. I was a little bit older in life until I started fostering. Woo! That was an experience. Okay? Started fostering. These are some of the people that came into our lives. There's one of them. That's the first one there on the right there. What is that? The Kyrie holding a Pepsi. Mama trained him well. Right? She's a Pepsi addict. She drinks that Pepsi. Okay? And so he's holding her Pepsi. Right? And so, man, we got Sadie up there in the middle. I mean, Sarah in the middle. And I can tell you, fostering changed my life. I went into fostering, and I'm not here to tell you to foster. I went into fostering thinking that I was going to help people. I was going to help kids. No, they helped me. God changed me. Because when I first got into fostering, I was the righteous one. I was a good one. And how could there be a parent that would allow their life to get in such a situation that they couldn't keep care of their kids? I could not see it. I might even say I hated them. How could a parent do that? Man, them kids came in, and man, they didn't know right from wrong, and they was acting crazy, and they was crying and screaming, and I'm like, what in the world have I done? The more I fostered, and the more I began to see the system, I began to feel compassion for those parents. Because I believe those parents love their kids. And they want a relationship with their kids. They're stuck in sin, or they're stuck in things that take them away from their family, and I just want to be that avenue. I just want to be a help. I just want to be a part that helps you connect back to your family. It changed me. I have more compassion for that now. It helped me as a child of God. It helped me as a minister. It's helped me as a teacher. It's helped me as a coach, because I see kids coming to my presence every single day in that situation. I just want to help them. I want to be a tree. I want to be something that they can see. And then we probably did, I don't know, honey, 4 or 5 years. I mean, time passes when you're old, right? It passes fast. We could have been doing it for 20 years, okay? But I think it's about 4 or 5 years that we fostered. And I changed one three-year-old diaper. And I went to Mama, I said, honey, I can't change another one. Cannot change another three-year-old diaper. We just kept little kids. And I can remember, I went in to Angie one day and I said, honey, we're going to adopt a teenager. And she kind of looked like, no, we're not. No, teenager. I mean, look around at the teenagers. Would you want them living in your house? Right? They do. Right? You got to feed them and bathe them and take care of them, right? And put up with them. And all of a sudden we said, well, we got a list of what that person needs to be. We got that list of what that person needs to be. And then Sadie came into our life. Sadie came into our life. She came to us in May, and I think April 22nd, if it works out, that we have a court date that's an adoption date. If you'd have told me 5 years ago when I started fostering that I was going to adopt, nope. I'll take care of them for a little while, but then they can go back to their mama. They can go back to somebody else. I'm not doing it. And you know, one of the things that I heard over and over and over and over that used to drive me crazy, and I would hear from Christians, oh, I couldn't foster. I couldn't foster. Why can't you foster? You got a house. You got money. You got food. Yeah, I would get so attached that it would be so difficult. It would be so hard to let them go. I just couldn't do it. Oh, so this world is about you, right? It is about you. Yeah, you're going to get attached. Yeah, you love them. Yeah, you want what's best for them. They become a part of you. I fostered Sarah, and when she went back, we didn't foster for a year. Because it was hard. I did not want to let her go. It's hard. And God, I don't know what he did. He placed on us we're going to try to adopt. And Sadie came into our life, and you can see the pictures. And if you see her in person, she's more beautiful than the pictures. Just beautiful inside and out. She wanted a place to call home, but she wanted to be in the body of Christ. She always believed in God. She wanted a church. She wanted a spiritual family. I would say she was the one asking God for stuff. And now, adopting her, she's my family. She's my daughter. I love her. I want what's best for her. I want to give her all my stuff. I told my children, I said, when we adopt, that inheritance, teacher retirement, woo! We're going to have to give it to another person. We're going to have to split it more. And they're like, oh, split teacher retirement. Oh, yeah, Dad. I said, okay. That inheritance, it's theirs. It's that family. That's what it is. That's what begins to happen in Ephesians 1, verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. God chose you. God chose you before the creation of the world. Just think about how you've been. Words you've said, actions you've done, things you regret, things you wish you'd never done. And God chose you before the creation of the world to be holy, blameless in His sight, in love. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. God desired you. God wants you. He wants you in His family. That's just amazing to me. When I look back at the history, when you think about the first century and you think about Jews, some of the reading that I've done is there were really no adoption laws. If you died, your brother just took your place as head of the household. And there shouldn't be that need for adoption because that was your family, and if your brother died, you just took his place as head of the household. But the Romans saw something different. You see, the Romans during that day and time, they could disown their natural children. Whoo, honey, I don't like that one. Came out, I thought that was going to be a boy, it's a girl. Let's leave it on the street corner. Oh boy, it's got some imperfections. Man, that's going to be a tough life. Look at the mental defects. That's going to be hard. That's going to be a challenge. They could disown it. They could put it on a street corner. They could disown it. But they say, under Roman law, that if you adopted, you couldn't disown an adopted child. You couldn't disown them. You chose. You saw that person, where they were, what they were like, and you brought them into your house. So when Paul is writing to the church at Rome, when he's writing to the church at Ephesus, when he's writing to these places, these Gentiles are hearing adoption, they're like, that's what God does to me. Like, he's choosing me. Like, he's not going to disown me. That's what they understood. And as a Christian during that day and time, it's just amazing. They began to take in some of the abandoned children. Some of the children that were left, that were unwanted, Christians began to bring them into their home. And Christians became known for that. You think that made an impact? We want you. The world may not, but we want you. And they saw everyone the same. They saw what happened to the children when they were just abandoned. Many of them were sold into prostitution. Many of them were used and abused. And they took them in and they loved them as their own. Christians began to make a difference in that day and time, just taking the unwanted children into their care. Because they saw everybody the same. A child is the same, an adult is the same. Everyone is the same in the eyes of God. That's what they did. They began to change that world during that day in time, taking advantage of those opportunities. Hey, in Galatians 4. In Galatians 4, look what it says here. But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Person reading that in the church there will be going, God chose me. He's adopting me. He's bringing me into His family. That's what that means. That was important to them. That was valuable to them at that time. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. You're God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. Are you excited to receive the inheritance of God that will never perish, spoil, or fade? It's kept in heaven for you? I long for it. I wait for it. I can't wait. I'm ready to receive it. And I'm thankful that I have a God that adopted me. That's what God did to you. That's what God has done for you, or that's what God wants to do for you. See, in Galatians 3, just the previous chapter, in verse 26, so in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You put on Christ. When you're buried with Him in baptism, you're raised to walk a new life. You've been adopted by God. You're in His family. He loves you. He wants to watch over you. He wants to protect you. He wants to be there for you. That's what God wants. That's what He desires. What He wants to do for you. April 22nd is coming up. And there's an example of a T-shirt there. Got the example on the front and back, Team Almond, member sense, you know, 00. Just an example of a T-shirt that we're trying to put together. You know, you have that adoption day, you all have T-shirts that you wear. And so we're going to have our names on the back and the year that we came into the family and all that. And so we're going to have those T-shirts made. And, I mean, we were worried. I wasn't worried about it. But some of the women of the family, or the font's got to be just right. The picture on the front and the back's got to be just right. I mean, everything's got to be perfect for that day, for those shirts that we wear. And as a Christian, we do the very same thing. When we're baptized into Christ, we are clothed with Christ. And we're raised up being adopted by God. We're chosen by Him for the creation of the world. He had the church in mind. And you're sitting next to someone possibly that just wants you to be adopted, that wants you to be a part of the family of God. They want you to experience the same things. And I pray that they act that way. I pray that they're living that out in their presence, that being a child of God is a blessing, that being a child of God made a difference in their life. I pray that they're living that out in your presence. Wherever they are, I pray that they're living that out. This morning, are you in God's family? Can you say that I am a child of God? Probably everybody in this room at one time has heard You've heard the gospel. Do you believe it? Do you believe, sitting right there, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe it? The Son of God. Do you believe that? Well, it's sin that separates you. It's disobedience to God that separates you from that family, separates you from having a relationship with God. We just repent of those sins. We just let God know, I'm sorry. I have been wrong. I am a sinner. I repent. I want to change my life. I want to be transformed. I want to be clothed in Christ. I want it different. And you repent of those things. You confess with your mouth, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You confess it. You let them know. You let the congregation know. You let the church know. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And then you're buried with Him in baptism. When you come up out of those waters, you come up forgiven. You come up a child of God. You come up being a part of the body of Christ. You come up being adopted by God. He's chosen you. He wants you. It's us that choose not to live in His presence. He wants to be a part of your life. That's why He sent Jesus, His one and only Son. He's sending to be our Lamb, to be our sacrifice, because He wants a relationship with you. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian, but you're sitting here today and you go, you know, I haven't been living like a child of God. I haven't been living like I'm blessed. I haven't been living the life. And my family has been seeing something different than what I've been wanting them to be a part of. And I need to change. I need prayers. I need prayers. I need help to be a better mother. I need help to be a better grandparent. I need help to be a better dad. I need help to be a better co-worker. I just let life happen to me. Man, that's why the family's here. We're here to pray with you, to help you in that struggle, because we all face those things. We all deal with those things. Oh, question for you. Are you in God's family? Do you need to be obedient to that? Do you need to make some changes in your life? You need to make some changes. You can do it privately. You can do it publicly. We respond to an invitation song. You can do that. You can let the whole congregation know, I'm ready. I'm ready to live in the family of God. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, come now while we stand and while we sing.